The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, and we stream live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Be sure to like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and their school may be the next one right here in our Spotlight. This week, our Spotlight is focused on a special program initiative that is being launched by New York State, and it's out of the Office of Children and Family Services, and it's a mentoring program, and we're going to learn all about it and how they're trying to recruit some volunteers and get the program up and running throughout the schools on Long Island. And we have Diane Urso.
Very good.
And Diane is the regional coordinator here on Long Island for OFCS, or is that
OCFS,
right?
OCFS, correct.
Okay, I might be dyslexic. So this mentoring program, you know, we hear a lot about programs that want to be pushed into the schools and, you know, to benefit the children and reduce some of the discipline issues and deal with conflict resolution. And, you know, every so often a new program comes along and, you know, this one has found the cure-all for everything. Talk to us about what this mentoring program is and how it got started. And I'm interested to hear what the vision is and what you see as potential benefits for school districts and, by extension, their communities.
The communities, sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having
Pleasure
me.
Pleasure having you here, Diane.
It really is always wonderful to have a chance to talk about the program and let people know what's going on with it and what we're doing. The program started in 1984. Ms. Matilda DeCuomo, who at that point was our first lady.
And that name is familiar.
It
her husband
familiar.
Was a governor.
Correct.
And her son is the current governor.
Correct. So now she's our first mother. So while she was our first lady back in the 80s, Mr. Cuomo Sr. said to her, you know, Matilda, we're having some issues in the school with truancy, kids dropping out and failure rate. You're an educator by tradition and trade. What do you think is the best way to approach this? And she looked at him and she said, well, Mario, when one of our children is having an issue, I always find, you know, they have five children. She goes, one-on-one is always the best way to speak to them. She said, nobody wants to be addressed in a public forum.
Right. You don't want to be dressed down in front of a group.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be punished as a group because of the actions of an individual.
And you won't open up as a group.
Right.
So she said,
Nobody
wants to be the rat. She said, I really like to talk to everybody one-on-one. And from that moment was really born the idea of one-on-one school-based mentoring. She said, I think we need to do it at the school so the kids are in that environment. They don't have to go off-site. She goes, one-on-one school-based mentoring. And that's really where it started 30 years ago. It was the first nationwide school-based mentoring program. After the governor lost his office, it was almost 15 years later, the program kind of went away, and she started Mentoring USA. It's a not-for-profit. Her daughter Maria now currently runs it, and it focuses more on the foster care system.
Right.
And when her son Andrew became our governor, and after his father passed away, he brought this program back in 2015.
So it's a real true family initiative and family affair, something near and dear, close to the governor's
Absolutely.
Heart.
Absolutely. And it's also something that has been proven to work. You know, it's what this program focuses on are the kids who maybe there's no mom at home, a single parent, there's no parents at home, or the kid who's just kind of getting lost in the shuffle. And this is that way of, I always say it's a safety net. It's giving them that person, that somebody to talk to and have that connection with where it doesn't already exist. So that's kind of where we're targeting, because what's also really kind of interesting about mentorism is that they find on the day that the student has their mentor coming into school or whenever they're seeing them, absenteeism drops greatly that day.
Because it's the connection.
It's the connection.
Right? Whether they're connecting with a teacher or a peer or in this case,
the mentor,
a mentor.
Is.
Right.
And, you know, mentor, we're not even just speaking about this program. Whenever the mentor is going to be in that person's life, they're going to be present. We, you know, just got back into this program in 2015, and I can say the programs that we have existing on Long Island, all the mentors are coming back. They all want to do it again. Well, and the mentees all want to have a chance to be mentored again. So it just shows in the efficacy of the program that it works and on both sides.
How many programs do you have operating on Long Island currently?
We have about 10 operating, and that counts as we have also two models. We have the traditional, which is what you and I are speaking on now, and we have students mentoring students. We have
peer mentoring
or high honor roll students in the high schools. They can either be with other high school students. Sometimes they go into the elementary programs. And in all these cases, we're trying to reach kids in as many ways as we can.
What type of training would be necessary? Let's start with the peer-to-peer mentoring, because that piques my interest a little bit.
Sure.
Because you have a captive audience. The kids are already together. And if they, when mom and dad says something, it's one thing. But when your friend says something, it takes on a whole different
especially
tone.
Especially an older student who you look to as a role model anyway.
Right. So what type of training is involved with a peer-to-peer mentoring?
So the peer-to-peer is a two-hour training. As similarly, if it was a traditional and it was adult in the community, we do a two-hour training on-site with the students. We actually did one today in Long Beach, and we had 50 students who are now going to be ready to go and work as peer support mentors in their school. And they're going to be matched with ninth graders who need that support. So in that time period, what we do is we give them, all the tools that they need to get going right away, because they have program coordinators in all these buildings with the adults as well. That means we have a seasoned teacher who's going to be present and on site in all these programs. They meet weekly, one-to-one, and there's a coordinator. So there's a lot of support for both the mentees and the mentors in these programs.
And what would you say, obviously there's a benefit for the at-risk student that we described earlier, but there's probably by extension some benefits for the mentors themselves, particularly the peer-to-peer, right? Because lots of schools require some sort of community service or giving back, and I would assume this would fulfill that requirement. But beyond that, it probably gives them a certain skill set that will follow them well beyond the walls of their high school and into colleges.
Absolutely. And what I always say when I'm going into schools and I'm talking about the program and, trying to pique some interest. What I love about the peer support program is I say you have flowers growing on both sides of the fence. I said as an administrator, a teacher, you have your mentors are going to have as much development as the mentees. I always love to see them when the mentors or the peers, the kid who doesn't see themselves as the natural leader, but yet their teacher or their guidance counselor, somebody said, you're going to be an amazing mentor. And they develop these leadership skills and they see themselves in a role that they never even knew possible. And that is pretty powerful stuff.
What are some of the measurable facts? You say the program has demonstrated a lot of success in some of the areas with the at-risk kids. What are some of the things that you see as immediate benefits?
Well, like I said, the number one is absenteeism.
Sure.
On that day. And that's a big issue for most of the kids that are being targeted.
Sure.
Grades definitely improve.
Because they're there.
Yeah, because they're there. And, it sounds insignificant, but you being an educator know that half the battle with kids who are having struggles is being present.
And engaged.
But if they're not there, they can't do well.
That's true.
So showing up really can be half the challenge, and being present. Behaviors certainly become improved, because one of the things is we're working on social, emotional, as well as educational.
And what do you require of school systems to implement this program, right? Because everybody, school administrators will tell you, hey, listen, our system is, taxed already. We've got all these things going on. Our day is crammed almost every minute. What is required of school districts? How do you give me the elevator pitch? I'm a superintendent of schools, right? Give me the elevator pitch.
It's so nice because there's no cost to the school. So that's really a wonderful pitch.
That's a big plus.
Plus, what they really need to provide is one of their staff, the seasoned teacher, maybe a guidance counselor, social worker, if they not a teacher, to be the program coordinator.
Okay.
After that, it's time, place. And, we give all the tools to make the program viable. And we also, in addition, support after the program is up and running. But after we tell them, program coordinator, mentors, mentees, it does look a little bit different in every building. And I love that because it adapts to the culture of the school and what they need.
Right, because a small school system will have different needs or different concerns or different resources available.
Resources are probably one of the number one keys.
Than a huge school system. And again, you could have different concerns or problems with a large system, right? Because you know, could easily get lost in the sauce in a big system, where if it fails on a small system, you know, or there's problems on a small system, it could really magnify as well.
Correct.
And vice versa, the benefits as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I love the most about it, is that we can come in and adapt it to what is going to fit for your school, your kids, your needs. You know, one of the districts that I'm going to be working with this year is Walt Whitman, South Huntington. And they said they wanted an ENL mentor program. And they go, do you do that? I said, we're doing it with you because that's your need. So it's pretty neat how it can be customized to the school and what their needs are.
We're only in 10 schools so far on Long Island, and there's a lot of other schools that could benefit from this. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the adult mentoring piece and what's involved, and we're looking for some volunteers, I believe.
We are looking for mentors.
So we're going to talk more about that and how you could find out more information about this program and hook up if you're interested in being a mentor. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, and we're streaming live on the web from LINewsRadio.com, and we'll continue our conversation with Diane Urso when we come back.